Welcome to the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. My name is Jill Hood and I will be chairing this evening's meeting. Okay, item one. Can we note and approve the minutes, please?
Aye.
Moved.
Aye.
Andrew, are there any apologies?
There are, Chair, yes. There's apologies from Councillor Phillips, Councillor Nixon, who substituted this evening by Councillor Jones, and from Councillor Edgeler.
Thank you. Do we have any public question time?
That's nil.
Thank you. Do we have a councillor session?
That's nil.
Thank you. Members' items, pages 4 to 13, I ask that you note the report of the Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee.
Noted, Chair.
Thank you. Item 6, do we have any called in items?
No, we don't, Chair.
Thank you. Item 7, we now come to 7A, a presentation by Support Staffordshire. We welcome you, Chair. Thank you. Councillor Pert, would you like to introduce the presentation, please?
Thank you, Chair. Before begging your indulgence, before we start, I just want to add my voice of thanks to Dr. Tracy Repath, given this is her last committee, for the strategic vision that she has brought to this borough, the strong voice for Stafford Borough in the wider West Midlands area. The steady hand and the knowledgeable experience that she brings. If you don't know the answer to a question, Tracy usually knows it 24 hours, 48 hours before you do, and is able to provide strong leadership through that. So just wanted to say thank you formally, given her role with this committee.
Thank you, Councillor Parr.
Thank you. In terms of this evening's presentation, we have Support Staffordshire with us this evening, and they are the umbrella organisation for the voluntary sector across not only Stafford, but also Staffordshire, as the name would suggest. They're a long-standing core partner of the borough councils in terms of making sure that the voice of the voluntary sector comes back to us, but at the same stage that we also can make sure that the plans for the voluntary sector that we have will work at grassroots level. The voluntary sector is really strong within the borough, and one of the reasons it's strong is that we have a strong voice through this umbrella organisation that is Support Staffordshire. And we can see the importance that the voluntary sector has, more recently through things like the COVID response and also through the cost of living. But, you know, during the COVID response, they were putting up videos and advice and leadership to many, many groups, with no real understanding where we were going to, because during COVID, none of us knew where we were going to end up. And the work that they did, I think, was fantastic. And it really builds the community resilience. So I'm really pleased that they are a partner of ours, and I'm pleased that they come to talk to us this evening. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Jeremy. So just going to introduce myself. I'm the locality officer for Support Staffordshire for the whole of Stafford District and also South Staffordshire. And this is my colleague, Alison Holmes. She's our Southwest Operations Manager, so she's come with me to the presentation this evening, and we're going to do a little bit between us to share some information about our services. So I'm just going to get started. I've put some information on the table, which I'll refer to as we go along, and just tell you a little bit more about us. So we are, as Jeremy rightly said, the BCSE organisation and infrastructure organisation across Staffordshire. So, what do we do? We're commissioned by the County Council to provide support and development advice to voluntary groups, community organisations and social enterprises operating for the benefit of those who live or work in Staffordshire. And I just want to refer actually to the locality map that you've got on the table there. So just to give you an idea of the size and how we're working, so this one with all the colours on it, and you will see all of the different offices that we have across Staffordshire, and we have a locality officer that's engaged to obviously look after each of those districts. You'll see me down here actually as Anne Ross, because I recently got married in December, so I'm now Saxon, which is on the paperwork, but this is we haven't updated this this map, this road map yet, so forgive me on this, but it just gives you an idea of the coverage that we have across the area. Alison is here at the bottom in red. She's our Southwest manager, like I pointed out earlier. We've got an operations manager in the north called Jill Norman, and Sally looks after the east side of Staffordshire. We also have, I'll come to some of the staff teams in a moment. So we're basically supporting the voluntary sector, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go along. So we've got the Southwest team, which is, we're obviously based on the third floor here in this building. And this is our main operations base. And we are the Southwest team looking after the Stafford Borough, which you'll probably be interested in today. So we've got Alison heading the team, myself looking after Stafford District. We've got Michelle Cliff, who's my colleague. She looks after Cannock District, and also she is the rural officer for the area. Peter, I think you met Michelle, didn't you, the other week at the... we went to the local transport meeting to support the branch transport. Michelle has, we have a contract for ACRE, which is the rural side of things, and Michelle actually covers the whole of half of Staffordshire. I say the whole, it's split into two areas, isn't it? We've got two rural officers that look after that. Michelle is looking after Cannock and the rural contract for ACRE. So that is actually supporting village halls. So she, we have a village hall network meeting, which is every quarter. So she manages that for Stafford and the southwest side of the Staffordshire. Then we have Michelle Williams down there. She's our community officer, Healthy Communities. And we'll come back to Michelle's role in a little bit later on to tell you a little bit about the work that she's doing around health and the gaps. Well, it's the health inequalities area that she's working on with MPFT. And then we've got a newcomer on here. This is Khadija Sharif. She is our new community officer who's taking care of Yarnfield and Coldmeads, and I'll come back to that a little bit later on. But Jeremy, you met Khadija on last Wednesday, didn't you, when we both at the parish council meeting, so I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we move on. Can we have the next slide? I wanted to touch on the volunteering team now, because we've actually brought that a little bit more local, and when I say local, we had a volunteering manager that covered the whole of Staffordshire, and we felt that we wanted to make that a little bit more local, so we can actually engage more now with our communities and our local groups, particularly since COVID, because there's been a lot of sort of demand for trustees and more volunteers. So Emma's not long started with us, and she's covering three parts of Staffordshire, so Cannock, Stafford and South Staffordshire. And then we've, of course, got our volunteer advisors as well that are working on a one-to-one level with people that come to us to inquire about volunteering. We then have our social prescribing link workers as well, led by Sarah Maxfield. She's the social prescribing manager. And she manages five of the social prescribing link workers that are based in the Stafford area in the GP's surgeries on the PCN contracts that we have. And I'll come back to a little bit of the work that they do shortly. So we've now got a fundraising team as well, led by Paul Deacon, the fundraising manager. And they have, they've got a new sort of, what is it, a new department, if you like, a new, they're going out to businesses to just...
They've got a new strategy, which is around engaging with the business community to help the voluntary sector.
Yeah.
So they're trying to forge the links with the businesses as
and
well. So
I'm just trying to think of the name of their... because they've got a separate website, Business Club, is it? Yeah. So, as I say, they're engaging with the local businesses and also the business commerce team in
the Chamber of
Chamber
Commerce,
of Commerce in Stafford as well. Yeah, getting all my words tonight. The Health Watch team, on the table you find a leaflet for Health Watch. We took over the contract for Health Watch in April. And we've got the team downstairs on the third floor with us. That's led by Baz. And we've got two or three engagement workers there. Dave, Emma and Claire and Danielle. She's our new social action officer doing all the Facebook and... what's it called?
Social media.
She's doing all our social media. Websites and things, so she goes off to different meetings and shares information through that. Okay. We're then moving on to our consultancy and research team, and I just want to say as well, Support Staffordshire, we were, prior to COVID, we were a team of 40 people. We've now expanded the team through different contracts, and we're now up to about 72 people in the organisation. So we've now got the consultancy teams moving more into their development and research now, and we've been doing a lot of work with Keele University as well. So that is now headed up by Michelle Godden. One of our locality officers from the north, Lisa Haynes, has now moved into the team and she's going to be working more with the development team and yourself, isn't she, to look at various sort of development work there. We've got Sue, Jeanette and Siobhan and Louise, and they are doing consultancy work. And when I say consultancy work, they are specialised pieces of work that... some of our organisations and member groups come to us there's specific pieces of work where they might want to sort of change their governance, they might want help with the changing over to different structures through the for the Charity Commission. It might be a specific piece of work to change over an old constitution or things like that. So and also the consultancy team are heading up some of the training that we've been delivering as well. So that's just a short sort of whistle stop tour, if you like, around some of the teams. So I just want to go back now to my work actually around what our offer is to the voluntary sector across Stafford and in general. So we have a free membership to Support Staffordshire, which groups and not-for-profit groups can join. It's a free membership, and we have in that membership, operating across Stafford District, 170 local groups. We have in membership with us at the moment 1,200 members countywide. But we do have, obviously, groups through that county membership, delivering services across Stafford as well. If a group comes into membership with us, they're entitled to 3 hours of free advice a year and the support of myself, the locality officer. They have access to a range of services as well through membership, and that can be access to some of the consultancy services. We offer a bursary scheme to support those groups if they're struggling funding-wise, financially. We offer free training to our members as well. So normally we would deliver some types of our Right Start training, and I shall come back to some of that, where to find that in a moment. So we're also delivering training on behalf of the County Council called Supportive Communities. That's been bite-sized training, which we've been delivering, and we started that delivering that through COVID as well, online, and that's carried on ever since, really, supporting those groups and volunteers out in the community. Let's work together. The Right Start is more of support Staffordshire's training package, if you like, and that's more around helping volunteers know all about trustee roles and responsibilities, for instance, or a selection. We have a calendar that our members can go onto our website and look at what is available, and we rotate that. So we're doing face-to-face again now. We obviously stopped that during COVID, but we're offering that face-to-face again, and we sort of move that around the county, if you like, so people get an opportunity to access the training from different areas. We have lots of information and resources, like Jeremy said, on our website, and obviously we were directing a lot of traffic through our website during COVID to help those groups. And the website address is there, why not become a member? So obviously that's something we promote to new groups when they come to ask us about membership and to find out about how we can support them. Finding my space. Also, in your pack of leaflets there, I've just popped a leaflet on there to just tell you a little bit about our membership. And there are some leaflets that have gone around as well, which we give out at our forums and events. And also, if we get new people inquiring about our membership, we send those off to them with a free application form. You can find the application form on our website as well. So, where are we? So, can I just pop back to the offer of the voluntary section? Because there's other parts to what we offer as a locality officer when we go out to meet groups. So we can help groups change over their governance. So if they're an informal group, just set up with a sort of simple constitution, and they grow the organisation and they develop and they want to change over their structure and become a sort of CIO or a charity. Obviously, when they start receiving certain funding and their funding grows, there's a sort of threshold that they might need to sort of refer to at certain points. So any information that they need around legal governance and legal structures, we can help them with, and we can sort of guide them through that if they need that. If it turns out to be a little bit more than the 3 hours of my time, then that can become a consultancy piece of work, so then we would refer that over to the consultancy team, or we could actually offer them the bursary to have that extra time so that they can look at their governance to make sure that, you know, they are following good practice and making sure that everything is the way it should be. General startup advice we can give. So if a new group come along and they start running a coffee morning and they're not constituted, then sometimes they come up against barriers where they can't actually access funding. So that's where we can they come into our membership as a startup member, and that way we can help them get a constitution and set up in a good way to become a legitimate group, let's say. So that's some of the work that I do as the locality officer. So what else do we offer at Support Staffordshire? Well, we offer volunteering opportunities. We promote well-being and friendship and fun, and we offer quite a lot to those communities. Volunteering. So I told you a little bit about Emma, our new volunteering manager, and we have a brokerage. So that we've now got a new system called Simply Connects, which was launched in May 2021. we had a surge of volunteers, obviously, during COVID, and we felt it was a lot easier to develop and have our own platform. So we joined a new sort of platform, if you like, called Simply Connect Staffordshire, and we launched that in May 2021. So that platform is designed to give volunteers easy access to current opportunities and make recruitment more efficient for organisations. So they have to be in membership to be able to access that as a group and an organisation, so they have to be a member. What that entitles the members and the groups to have is that they can access the platform and they can register, and then once they're registered on that platform, they can manage their own volunteering opportunities. When they fill those roles, they can take them off so they can manage them independently. We have a dedicated email address for the groups accessing that platform, and that comes straight through to the volunteering department and the manager. We've started offering the in-person volunteering sessions again. Obviously, that was all suspended as a result of COVID. And we've got Helena, our volunteering officer, who's here on certain days of the week, and she will make phone calls. We can see that from the platform if we've got new registrations, and we can sort of give advice to those people that are volunteering and have registered to volunteer. As an individual, anyone can go onto the website to look for volunteering as well on that same platform. So they just go onto the website, they click on the tab for volunteering, and then they can register themselves, and then they can scroll down the list of available opportunities. So it works both ways for would-be volunteers as well. And then if they need more help with that, they can always come in and see Helena, our volunteering officer, or speak to her on Teams or on online, and she can help them through that. So where are we? We organise and host events. Some of you may have already been to our locality forums. We obviously started doing those all online during COVID, but we've, I think, I'm just trying to think when we went back face to face. I think it was last summer, actually. Yes, it was last summer. We held a nice event at Ingestry Orangery, and it was a marketplace event, and it was full, which was fantastic to see the amount of groups that had come out to with all their boards for the marketplace event. We've just held the last one, actually, in Stone, and Jill was at Stone and gave a presentation. And that it was, you know, we moved them around across the district as well. So the next one that we've got coming up will be the summer. That's at Rising Brook Church, and that will be a volunteer recognition event. Some of you may have already heard about our volunteer recognition events. We had Star Awards some of you may have already heard about. We're not doing that this year. We're changing the way we do our volunteer events since we've had the fundraising team. We're going to be doing a sort of roll call, a roll of honour for the volunteers at this event, and we're going to be recognising them. So nominations are open for those people in the organisations to put forward people's names at the moment. So that event is on the 22nd of June. And that we always do our events around Volunteers Week, so we can sort of heavily promote that. Volunteers Week is the first week of June, but we don't always do them then. We spread them out over the month. Okay. I mentioned earlier about our Right Start training. So this is another way that we help our members. We put on selection of training, and that just sort of is ongoing all of the time. We've been asked to deliver quite a lot of training recently, haven't we? And Alison might just sort of give you a short sort of synopsis about what we're doing with the training.
Thank you. So our Right Start training, as Anne said, is a very basic introductory training for all voluntary organisations. So that helps trustees and staff, volunteers in those organisations, learn that best practice and get a standardised kind of governance and plan. So that can be anything to do with policies and procedures. It can involve safeguarding training, bid writing and business planning, so that we can give those organisations the most kind of sustainable future and hopefully the tips to run effectively. There is two other big training packages that I mentioned earlier on, one of which is the supportive communities, and then there's the Let's Work Together. So they are slightly different. So they're open to anybody, and they are to help individuals to stay independent in their own homes and in the community. So they are things like supporting mental health awareness, healthy lifestyles, and signposting to the other services that are available in the district and across the county. So they're really quite popular trainings, and anybody is eligible, whether you're in a professional setting or whether you're a carer, a taxi driver, a hairdresser, any role that comes into contact with looking after members of the public. And you might spot and have those conversations and notice someone is perhaps struggling that they haven't gone and seen somebody about. So quite a lot of training, most of it is online, so people can access at all times, and is all free to people across the county.
And I should just mention at the last forum, we've just done some work with the Globe Foundation in Uttoxeter, so we've just been able to offer free climate literacy training sessions to our members, and through our partnership working with sustainable communities they are. So we've got some online sessions coming up, which are being promoted on our website. We've got some online sessions in April, and I think we've got two half days, is it? Or we've got some dates coming up. So if anybody did want information, I can share that a little bit later on. Okay, so I thought I'd talk a little bit about the partnership work that we've been doing now, just to sort of highlight some of the work that we do. Obviously, as Jeremy pointed out at the beginning of COVID, we worked very closely with Tracy and her teams to sort of map out some of the support across the district when we were going out with food parcels, or the county were delivering the food parcels, and we were finding out what doorstep support there was. So we worked together on that. We helped map out areas of need, identify trusted organisations to deliver support to the local community. So with the food banks, we were working very closely with the food banks, and obviously we were identifying people in the communities that had a need for things, and we were trying to work together to support that. We work closely now with MPFT, as I mentioned, through with our social prescribers, and we've obviously got a Healthy Communities Alliance, which aims to bring the VCSE organisations together to engage with statutory health and care organisations. So that's where I was going to bring in my colleague, because she's obviously working with the social prescribers and that health alliance. So if you wanted to sort of...
I'm not sure how familiar you are with social prescribers, but essentially they are commissioned by the PCNs, and they sit within the GP practices, and they issue the social prescriptions to patients. So they will receive referrals from doctors or clinical staff within the surgeries for people who don't really need a clinical solution. So they, via our network of voluntary organisations, will be linking people into things in the community, whether that is befriending opportunities if people are struggling with isolation and loneliness. It might be that they need support through food banks or debt advice, or it might be lifestyle, so weight loss or physical activity. So they'll take on and do those one-to-one consultations, find out the kind of root causes of some of the potentially physical issues, and then plug those in and link them in with organisations. The Healthy Communities Alliance, again, is what sort of Anne described. So we are, again, the link between the NHS and the health professionals and are on our local organisations with a health focus. So they might be, for example, the ones, the, sort of the diabetes organisations or heart, strokes and blood pressure. So we, it might be that we can help for funding. It might be that we can plug people into research projects. And then there's also things like digital upskilling. So obviously things like the NHS have gone very digital. We manage all your appointments and everything is on your NHS app. And a lot of our community can't cope and understand how to use that. So we're doing some work to put those people together and understand the barriers to health.
And just touching on the digital aspect, we, the County Council, were obviously keen to engage more with the community and make sure that they could sort of try and upskill them and obviously make sure that people were more connected. So there were a couple of schemes that they were promoting. One was the Donate IT scheme, which some of you are probably aware of, and that was to sort of identify areas of need. And we as an organisation have worked closely with the council as well to with the groups, I should say, really, to identify if they need a laptop, we can sort of put forward for them to have more laptops to support the groups that they're supporting. The other thing that I was just going to mention, we have, and I didn't mention this before, but we also have a directory in Support Staffordshire. So once you become a member, you complete when you completed your membership, you have the option to complete one of our member censuses, which you complete it and put in all the detail of your group. So that links in with the Staffordshire Connects platform as well. And there's an option on the front of that form for our members to either opt in to have their information put on the directory or not. And then obviously that's fed back and they can access, people can access that from the directory as well. The other thing we were supporting was the County Council member grants scheme and member funds. So we've sort of been on panels where we've sort of looked to support the County Council with their funds. So if they're not too sure about a group, we've sat on panels to sort of say yes, the group's legitimate and yes, they deserve the funding. So that's another area, and we obviously promote that on our website in our funding section to the group so that they can make sure that they can access the available funds. The other area of work that we did quite rightly was we recently helped the Borough Council promote the warm spaces. Jeremy sent out a letter, he sent it over to myself and I sent that out to our local groups across Stafford to get that information out there, and I attended the meeting and then we were offering to sort of support those groups if they needed any help with setting up the warm spaces, should they have needed more volunteers or should they have needed extra funding. Some of those groups I've gone round to visit them. Some of them have been really well attended. Some sort of probably not so much. There was a question raised around what are we going to be doing at the end of the March the 31st, but I think some of them have sort of identified people coming into those warm spaces now and are probably keen to carry on with them. So I think that's been really positive. I mentioned the climate fund that we were the climate literacy training, and obviously the county climate fund as well. We help promote that too. I think that's that on that slide. We need to get into the end. Sorry if it's I'm going on a bit. So I just wanted to mention the bit about the partnership work that we're doing really with the, I mentioned earlier, we've got a new community officer. So I think in the last slide it said about us working with closer with the parishes. I think we did, we supported the Borough Council when they did their webinars when we were just coming out of COVID, didn't we, with offering them, it was a communications webinars, and we worked closely in the workshops with some of the parishes. So we felt we, during COVID, we also offered the Good Neighbour Scheme, and with the Good Neighbour Scheme we identified that there was a need for more work to be done in communities. We had a community officer who I worked closely with, and we bought some of those new groups that we started working with during that Good Neighbourhood Scheme into membership, and now we're still working with some of those parish councils. One of them was Yarnfield and Cold Meath, and we looked at sort of having a community officer around this area, and we spoke to the parish clerk, and we planted a seed, if you like, about having a community officer working in partnership with ourselves. The community officer is employed by us. We helped support them to get the community lottery fund to fund it, and so that lady started on March the 1st, and so far she's just started, and so far so good. Be able to tell you a little bit more about that at a later date. Obviously she only started on March the 1st, but so far she's doing okay. Moving on to my role, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what I do, really, I suppose. Apart from all the other information I provided around the memberships, this is some of the other work that I do. So obviously to connect those communities and work locally with them, engaging with the parishes and councillors, connecting and collaborating. We obviously report to Stafford Borough. We have a contract with the Stafford Borough, so we report on a quarterly basis. This is some of the information that we normally put in that report. We report on volunteer engagement, our development work, and I just wanted to sort of pick up some snippets of that information and add it into the presentation, because I thought it was, you might want to know about the amount of funding that we reported in across the year, January to December 2022. So that was a total of 283,000. So each quarter we can calculate what our groups have had in the area, and we add that up to other pots of funding that we know about. Groups don't always tell us about the funding that they've received, so sometimes we have to go out there and find that ourselves, but obviously the funds that we know about, we're reporting on here. 139 groups, local groups, received information, advice and guidance and support. And I mentioned our rural scheme earlier through Michelle. She supported 26 of those village halls, either to sort of change their governance. Some of those village halls have assets, and sometimes they can be quite complicated, and she can go in there and she will help them sort that so that they can sort of move forward, I suppose. Our promotion of training, support and events, and then we obviously support the volunteers with our recognition events. I mentioned that awards that we've got coming up, and also I supported the Borough Council. I helped with the judging of the last community awards, which was fantastic. So it's great to see those volunteers recognised for their work. So I think we nearly finished now. The other thing I just wanted to mention was some of the partner meetings that I attend as well. So obviously we both, don't we? We go to quite a number of strategic meetings, the community wellbeing partnership meetings we attend. I sit on the Dementia Action Alliance meeting, and we've tried to sort of, we lost Diane Wallace, who was chair of that community-led group, she retired after COVID. So we tried to keep that going, and we managed through promotion of that at one of our forums to get some new members to that meeting. I think you also, one of your engagement officer who used to promote, come on to that meeting as well, the Stafford Borough council engagement worker, Sarah, used to come to that meeting, and between the two of us, we tried to encourage a few more to attend, and we're still going with that. We're still going with that, so that's good. Obviously, we attend Staffordshire County Council meetings as well. I went to the Stafford Mental Health Roundtable with Anne Edgela some time ago, when we were doing that, and I mentioned earlier the community awards there. The other thing that I've just been involved in, which I should just mention, is the supporting the work around, it's a coordinated approach actually with the County Council around the asylum seekers. So we've, because I'm locality officer for South Staffordshire, we've got two hotels that sit in there with a number of asylum seekers, and they've not had any recreational facilities at all. So we've been sitting myself and my colleagues, we've been asked to sort of help coordinate some support for the asylum seekers. And I've been working very closely with Stafford Welcomes Refugees. So we know that we've got some asylum seekers in Stafford now as well. So we're trying to set up a Cannock Welcomes Refugees group. And we had a small meeting yesterday in Penkridge for the hotel in Penkridge, and we're trying to sort of coordinate that approach so we can join it all up a little bit to make it easier so we can get that support in there. So that's another little bit of work that I'm doing as well. Nearly there, I think. I just wanted to mention that this is hot news really for us, because we've just been awarded the Local Infrastructure Quality Accreditation, LIQA award, which is awarded through the national charity body, the National Association of Voluntary Community Action, I think it is. So we've just won that, which we're very proud of. Thank you. And then the last page is just my information, and I will be sharing this presentation with you. I put a little bit, there's another handout on the table there, which is just, it's just a short whistle stop tour around some of the work that we do, and quick reference if you like, for you to take away with. So I was just going to open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Anne. Does anyone have any questions that they'd like to put to either Anne or Alison? Tony.
Hi.
It's Tony, isn't it, from Stafford Welcome to Refugees? I just recognised you. Again, you
ladies, would you like to go and sit down?
Yes, that'd be lovely. Shall I just unplug, Andy?
Yes, yeah. That's fine. I just think one of the members is just to get to your details.
Okay.
Okay. It's okay? Yeah, good to go now.
Sorry, you wanted to ask a question?
The mastermind chair.
Would you like to ask your question, Tony?
Thank you, yes. So I'm aware of the very good work that you're doing in many ways.
Thank you.
I'm also aware though of the hub in town, which I believe is run by VAST, which supports some volunteer organisations there. And also Skibbies, which also works to support some volunteer organisations. So I think it would be helpful just to know what the differences are between those three organisations and to what extent you link together and work together.
Yeah. So Skibbies is our partner organisation, excuse my back, and we work very closely. I think Skibbies started off as they were more predominantly youth, and we were the older persons, VCSE if you like, but now we've sort of even that out. Would you say so?
So we had a joint contract with Skibbies until last year, and they look after the youth sector, particularly the uniformed groups, and we focus on the adult organisations and children and families, so the really kind of young end of the scale, so they're in the middle. VAST are predominantly cover the Stoke-on-Trent area, so they're funded by the Stoke-on-Trent City Council. So again, we work on really closely with them. There's quite a lot of projects we're involved in that are county-wide, so that we've got, you know, we cover Stoke and the rest of Staffordshire, and then we've obviously got our own separate funding to focus on the different areas. So we do very similar work, and we do have some members that are in both VAST and Support Staffordshire, because they work across the whole county. So we try not to duplicate anything, but we work, we collaborate very closely with them. So
we do, and we go, and we always invite each other to our events. So they come to our forums, and sometimes we have members that are members of both as well. So, but yeah, we're not precious about what we do. So we work very closely with them. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does anyone else have any questions for Alison or Anne?
Yeah.
Angela?
Thank you. Could I just ask, where is the money coming from to support the warded spaces?
So that was really a borough council initiative, I think. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah.
It's a partnership.
But not all of the warm spaces took up the funding.
Mm-hmm.
But
So where did that funding come from?
Yeah.
It's a question I'm going to ask.
Okay.
Councillor Pearke, would you like to answer that question?
Through you, Chair, it's probably not appropriate for the Support Staffordshire because they're only one of the partners.
So that's okay. I'm sorry about that, but I was going to ask it later on in the agenda, but it was whenever the ladies mentioned the warm spaces and the funding, I thought, well, is this the appropriate place to ask for that? Or is it further on in the agenda? If I ask further on in the agenda, is Jeremy going to say, well, you should have listened properly and should have asked at that point?
I'm sure he's not going to say that.
Of course
he's
not. So that's fine, it can wait. Thank you.
Councillor Sutherland.
Yeah, thanks very much. And congratulations on your presentation. And your reasonable. You know, membership's free.
Yes.
How do you get your income that provides all this amount of work? Because there's a lot of work there that you've just described. And that's the first question. Second question is training.
Yeah.
You do online training.
Yeah.
Is that, again, free?
It is. Most of it is free to our members. They have two free places on the training,
right.
per
organisation,
or per organisation, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But often, sometimes there are places there, and they might want to do several pieces of training. So we might sort of let them do that if they're doing good work in the community. We,
okay.
You know, we. Obviously, if we have outsiders come in to do the training, there is some of the training is chargeable, but
right.
It's subsidised anyway, because obviously that it's for the good of the community most of the time, that the people that are volunteering come to are able to access that.
Mm. So the actual organisation that they're volunteering.
Sorry?
The actual organisation that they're doing the volunteering for.
Yeah.
They pay it, do they?
They have to be not-for-profit organisations to be in our membership.
Yeah. I was thinking of volunteers in village halls and community centres.
Yeah, so they can access that.
Yeah,
and this is where often they find out about the membership and they want to join for free.
Right.
And then we will do we'll do a review with them to make sure that they are set up with the good governance. And they're following good practice, and they've looked at all their policies, and we can review all of that, and we can just look at areas of need. So that's what I do with them. So we go through quite a lot, I suppose. Sometimes they just might be struggling to promote a new coffee morning, so they can access our website, and they can self-submit articles to our website as well. They can sign up on our website to receive a monthly e-bulletin, which I didn't tell you about, sorry, there's so much to see. So there's quite a lot that they can access from us, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thanks very much.
Councillor Jones.
I've got a question, really, but as one of the organisations I coordinate is a member, it's the Voluntary Cross Scheme, and I was just simply going to say, it strikes me that it supports Staffordshire. If you are a voluntary organisation, you ought to really talk to start with and take it from there.
Yeah. I think it's just that we can sort of move some of the groups forward. Sometimes the groups don't know about us, and so they don't know what's available to them, and that's what we're there for. So we can spend time with them. They've got three free hours of my time to go out there, and I can sort of look at the structure and make sure that they...
I'm sure there are some things that volunteers have to know and do legally.
Well,
you know, so it's nice to have somebody.
That's the thing, actually, Peter, because I think that there are changes being made to the Charities Act, and the Commission are getting pretty stringent on reporting and things like that, particularly because they were. Less lenient, they were more lenient, let's say, during COVID, because obviously groups couldn't get together to hold their AGMs and things like that. So they're now looking to make sure and bringing these things in now. So and they are making changes, and often these small groups and coffee mornings, they don't know that the changes are being implemented. So, you know, that's where we can sit with them and make sure that they are following good practice, really, and that they're aware. You get trustees that aren't aware of what their responsibility is. You know, some of these groups can be putting themselves on the line a little bit as well when they're not aware of what they should be doing, and that's where we can help them.
Yeah.
Andy?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. It was good to have. In terms of selling yourselves, if I'm thinking of my own area, there's probably, I'm sitting here thinking, several voluntary organisations that are probably not aware of you. Would you come along to them to sell yourselves?
Yes.
Better en masse, I suppose,
yes,
than individually.
No,
but that's the sort of thing you do. You wouldn't expect them to come here?
No, I go out. I work right across the community.
Yeah.
And that's when I was saying about the forums that we hold. And that's part of our commissioned work with the County Council, that we deliver community forums. And we do those on a quarterly basis. And obviously we invite our groups to come and use those forums as a platform to deliver information about their groups. So often we get, like we held it in Stone recently, a couple of weeks ago, and we got some new groups that had just come into membership. So they were, it was new to them, but you know, they can, it's great for networking as well, excuse me. So, you know, that's that they find out more about other groups as well. So no, that's part of my work. I go out if I get an inquiry, or I happily go out and do a presentation to the groups.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are we done with questions?
Can I
yes,
final question.
And then we'll make you the last
Thanks
question.
Thanks very much. Is this a more organised, or maybe it's the wrong word, is this a continuation, really, of the Community Council of Staffordshire that used to be?
That did Yeah, fold, didn't it, some years ago?
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of the Community Council, but I think they did things around funding and the Best Kept Village and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really, I don't think,
no.
Are we? We're more of an infrastructure organisation that can support the community, I would say.
Our remit is to build those links within communities and the resilience of communities and organisations within them. And I think we've seen such an increase in the demand for the voluntary sector, and a big decrease in the amount of people who are volunteering, and we're trying to support both and try and bridge those gaps, really, because whether it's been COVID, food banks, warm hubs and now asylum seekers, there's lots of kind of demands on the voluntary sector, so we're trying to really just keep build their resilience and future proof it, so that
it's incredible how the volunteers step up to the mark as well during these difficult times. So we are their voice, and we do get out there and support them.
Thank you very much.
Chair, can I just come back, because they did ask a question about where did support staff, so where does their funding come from?
So we are commissioned by the county council.
So about a quarter of our funding comes from the county council.
And where else does it come from?
So we now have quite a lot of local district contracts, of which one of them is with the borough here, also with the NHS, so we deliver a lot of projects, and we're our own a charity as well, so we've also got the fundraising team, which are trying to bring in that unrestricted money that we can go and support where we see there's a need as well. So thankfully I think we've spread our risk and changed our model over the last few years. But yeah, we've got a 4-year contract with the county council, so at least we've got that kind of plan that's
been in existence for at least 4 years.
Yes, and then every, you know, we go for that retendering every 4 years, and in between with the various different local agreements. So.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'm sure on behalf of everyone, and we thank you, Anne, we thank you, Alison, for coming along on it. On behalf of support staff.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
You can either stay for the meeting or you can leave.
We're going to shoot off.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
It's Community Council of Staffordshire is concentrating mostly on rural issues, village halls, community groups, usually in the rural area.
Item 7B, pages 14 to 21, and Tracy, you're going to be giving a presentation on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, through you, Chair. So this is quarter three performance information. So as with previous formats, it contains the performance at a glance, which is the indicators. That contains four targets that are below targets, but there is an improvement report for members to have a look at in relation to those. So happy to go through it page by page.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Supported by the officers in attendance.
So if anyone wants to ask a question, could you please just raise your hand? And yes, definitely. Thank you. So do you want to do that then?
Okay, so page 17.
Sure, can I ask about page 17, one or two things? And it's really about the homeless people, the percentages again. And as I've said before, you know, percentages don't really always give you the true story, because it depends on how many, as well as percentages. You know, you were going to give us percentages and numbers.
Which one is it for, Councillor Loughlin?
Is it L17? And I think it was also L18. Okay. About the percentage of homeless cases resolved through relief. Because I'd be talking about the overall number of homeless cases, and then you've got a percentage of that number which were resolved. Through a prevention, and then the percentage that was resolved through relief. You know, numbers always help, then you can add up and see where you're getting to.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, the percentages are reflective of the national indicators that we have to report on, so that is where we get those percentages from. I think
you're quite right in the point, though, around it does not show exactly the scale that we're looking at. So although we have percentages of relief and prevention, those are our statutory indicators.
Mm-hmm.
What we actually find, though, are the vast majority of cases that come through the Homelessness Service aren't actually captured with either of those brackets. So we do a lot of work up front with people who have got a lot of housing queries, who aren't at risk of homelessness at the time, so don't fall into those indicators.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at in quarter three is actually the figures are, last on here, we had 23 homeless prevention cases.
23 prevention.
And those were, we prevented them from being homeless within 56 days of their homelessness.
Right.
We had 65 relief cases, so they were people who came to us at crisis point who were homeless. But it's also worth noting that in that quarter as well, we had 332 people who we actually supported to not even get any close to homelessness. So
right.
That is the vast bulk of the work that the team do. So the percentages only reflect a very small amount of the work.
Right.
Does that answer your
question, Councillor?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yes.
Yes,
it does.
Could I ask, please, L111, the empty homes brought back into use? And I think somewhere as well have I read that we either now have in post or will have in post the empty homes officer.
Yes, that's correct. The empty homes officer started in September. She has been busy going out, understanding the caseload, looking at some of the issues that residents are raising, trying to get to grips with what the situation is with those empty homes, as well as doing wider work as well, trying to bring numbers back in as well. So information guidance to empty home owners, and then that targeted casework as well. So she's now got that up and running, and hopefully we'll see the numbers starting to improve going forwards.
Excellent. Anybody else on page 17? Okay.
Page 18.
So is this where I'm allowed to ask the question about the warm spaces? Down here at 2.3.1, here there's reference to the warm spaces. And what I was asking was, you know, is there funding available to the... I mean, I know that, for example, fire stations are providing warm spaces, and there are various other places. I've seen some places where there are large numbers who are there, and they seem to be actually not only sitting and not only having biscuits and cups of tea, they also seem to be there for their lunch. And I wonder, you know, is there funding to help these organisations, or are the organisations footing the bill themselves?
Through you, Chair.
Yes, thank you.
So just picking up some of those strands, and if I miss something, please, through you, Chair, please do come back to me. So there are fire stations, two fire stations within Stafford Borough who are part of the warm spaces.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't received any funding. They've effectively decided it was the right thing to do to come and join our scheme. We've just promoted them and included them in the publicity. I think that was a pragmatic and sensible approach from the fire service. In terms of the funding of warm spaces, the funding is a mix of, or the whole scheme is a mix of partnerships between the voluntary sector organisations themselves, the Borough Council, Midlands Partnership Foundation Trust, and the Community Foundation for Staffordshire. And the reason those four sets of partners are really important is that no one partner could have delivered warm spaces on their own. And effectively, it was a pure partnership between all of those people. We recognised back in the summer of last year, we could see very clearly what was going to happen in terms of the cost of living problems. And I think all the partners had the same views. And it was how do we put something together which was scalable and valuable, particularly as we've got a large rural area, and what we didn't want to do was create one central point and then try and bus people in,
or
people use fuel to get in and out when actually there was a cost of living issue. And many many communities have come together and done that, and all those partners have done a good job. The funding runs till the end of March, so we wouldn't be looking for new ones at the moment, for obvious reasons. However, we are looking at what happens next year, and the reason that's important is that, you know, food price inflation it continues to rise.
It does.
You know, the impacts of the cost of living that have been seen this year continue. There's been another increase in mortgage rates again, or Bank of England rate today. So, you know, I think this is going to be a scheme that we're going to need to look to roll through. And equally, we're looking at what we need to do for an ongoing basis. The principle of warm spaces was really a warm welcome.
You
know, because actually some people who are going to the warm spaces, you know, actually, you know, can afford the heating, can afford, you know, the beverages. What it is more is post-COVID, they've not managed to make the first step outside, and so they're lonely.
Some of them, by the way, just can't afford that either. You know, I've seen them.
Absolutely.
They can't afford it.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't disagree with that at all. But, you know, there's a cross-section of people from a whole variety of reasons, and I think they really provide, you know, a sort of a community asset within most of the local communities. But the idea was a warm welcome, a warm drink, and something warm, and a warm space, obviously, and somewhere warm to something warm to eat as well. So many of them are doing, you know, lunches and other such things.
So through you again, Chair. Are all these people, are these groups that you have mentioned as being in the partnership, are they all providing finance to these organisations who are providing the biscuits and the tea and the lunches? Or where is the money coming from for that? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are Stafford Borough Council doing? I know you're coordinating.
Yeah.
That means that you're paying for the staff who are doing the coordination.
Yeah.
But what else is...
So there's the money's come from a whole variety of different sources,
right,
because people could see there was a real benefit to
mm-hmm.
it. But one should never forget, we should never forget, that actually the warm spaces, you know, the money that's gone into the warm spaces certainly does not cover their cost of operating. So, you know, it goes as a contribution too, because we all decided we wanted to do something and we all decided this was the right approach. I should just make one other point in passing though. You know, we deliberately set aside some budget for community car schemes, and the whole purpose of that was to make sure that actually if you were in a rural community, you know, deeply rural community, you still had the ability to get help and support regardless of where you lived within the borough, because, you know, there are pockets of rural isolation, there are pockets of rural deprivation, and there are some very poorly, inefficiently heated homes within some of those rural areas.
Thank you. Can I ask, please, Councillor Pert, have we received any feedback from these designated places of amount of people who are going? Is it still popular now as the weather's getting warmer?
It's a really difficult one to decide what success looks like. You know, there are some warm spaces who say, well, we only have two or three who come on a Tuesday, and, you know, half a dozen who come on a Thursday, and, you know, is that success? And because there aren't, you know, thousands of people there. You know, I think it just does depend. There are some who are very successful and have a lot of people, and the problem there then is how do we help support them in other ways? And you'll be aware that we set up just before Christmas a food distribution hub that brings additional food into the borough, which then helps with some of the additional volume that some of those warm spaces are seeing and some of the food banks are seeing. It's been a really successful model, and you know, I'm delighted to say that we've been out there volunteering there. You know, a whole number of people from around this table have been volunteering there, and it's been useful.
I know you touched on it quite lightly. It would be interesting to know, do we think that the attendance in these places is more for mental health and socialising, or more genuinely for going to be warm?
Yeah, interesting. We funny enough had a video conference with the Mental Health Trust today, because you know they have been part of this, you know, setting up a warm spaces. I'm somewhat tempted to pre-announce what our initial findings are. We're pulling together a report at the moment to see what the impact has been, both in terms of, you know, broad numbers, but also through the system, because actually one of the reasons for doing this was to try and help support communities so that people didn't escalate. You know, it was an early prevention for mental health. Currently, am I allowed to say that? We have not seen an increase in terms of inpatient mental health. In fairness to the Mental Health Trust, you know, they've invested significantly in community work, and they have been sending some of their support workers into some of the warm spaces, particularly the more popular ones.
I have to just give an example of why it concerns me so much. I was lucky enough to have a free hour a couple of weeks ago, and I went to Wetherspoons on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock, and I looked around and there were 8 people on their own just sitting there. And I spoke to the manager and said, "Do your staff have any type of mental health training?" And he said, "Yes, but only to a certain level." And I said, "I haven't seen one of your staff go and just, you know, say, 'Hi, are you okay?' Not one person." And I thought it was such a shame. Maybe they'd say, you know, "Go away, mind your own business." But so what? At least they've made that initial approach. And, you know, it takes a lot of pride to walk into, swallowing of pride, to walk into a warm hub, because people know why you're there. And, you know, is it for socialisation or is it for the warmth? So, yeah, thank you for that. Councillor Cooper.
Yeah, just anecdotal, really, on what you're saying. My own experience within our village community for warm spaces. I think, first of all, we've been blessed with not the coldest of winters. So even when it wasn't that cold, so to speak, our village hall was packed, absolutely packed with, you know, on some occasions with people there. And that was the general village hall organised. Then each alternative week, another group around the area would organise their own do. And some of their groups called Craft and Chat, for instance. So you'd get a much smaller room with a much smaller group of people chatting, because I think the perception was they had to do something knit or whatever. Wasn't the case, because lots of other people there chatting besides. I come to the conclusion in all this is that I think 50% of it is warm spaces, but a very large, sounds contradictory, very large 50%. Is for mental health reasons and community. And there is a clamour to keep this going regardless of, you know, need for warm space or whatever, because it's really opened the community up, which was closed after COVID.
I think you make a fabulous point, and one I touched on in terms of, you know, why people go there and what value these communities do. We'd be remiss in not saying that we've put together a series of webinars deliberately aimed at trying to give those volunteers sufficient confidence and knowledge to be able to have some of those rich conversations, because sometimes, you know, what do I know about housing? We're not asking people to be specialists or experts in it, but actually to engage in a conversation that might help somebody. And they can be very rich conversations. And I would certainly say there's a series of 6 webinars covering things like mould and damp, which is topical, obviously, covers housing options, covers mental health, covers cost of living, you know, all those budgeting things.
These are on the Borough web through your chat.
On the Borough website.
Thank you. Councillor Hobbs.
I just wanted to ask about Usenet. It said that it's been recommissioned, that they're working with the boxing club. And I just wondered what other initiatives or hobbies are involved.
I've been bumped, obviously.
Sorry.
What do I know?
Sorry. Hi. So, through you, Chair. To be honest, it is generally just boxing. So the Right Stuff are commissioned in their own right to work with young people at risk of exploitation, ASB, and they work within the schools and they have a caseload. And Euthanet do the detached outreach work within the town or any hotspot locations. But what we had asked them to do was join up a little bit so that they can divert some of the young people to the Right Stuff Boxing Club outside of school hours. Mm-hmm. Now, it is, on the face of it is just boxing. Generally, that's what it is. They get a qualification, a recognised qualification through that because they look at lots of other things. But at the Right Stuff, they will support them to find something that is relevant.
That's
also
something
that
more, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
So much more.
Yeah, I think the boxing is. I have heard about boxing initiatives. They're really good for children's mental health, aren't they? But I just wondered whether there were other hobbies linked in.
No, we have tried to work with other groups. Generally, you see they're sort of private companies really that run dancing or such like, whereas the Right Stuff is a charitable organisation, mm-hmm. non-profit. So that's where we have struggled to say you can go to the boxing project or you can go to the gymnastics project mm-hmm. or the arts
yeah.
group. But they do work together, and with Euthanet as well, they do have a budget for diversionary activity mm-hmm. to engage young people in positive. So there's other little bits that they do, but no, unfortunately, we can't just say there's something aside from the boxing.
Okay. So that was page 19, but we're still on page 18. So
oh,
I want
sorry.
To just ask a question. No. I know Anne had left the room and then come up. I'd like to ask about 2.2.3. And it's the discussions continuing with HS2 Phase 2A Planning Forum.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, we know that HS2 has been suspended for 2 years, but that civil works are still going to be proceeding. In particular, I'm concerned about air quality, noise, vibration and contaminated land. So is this group going to still continue? How is it going to continue?
I think the answer to that question is still waiting to be found out. I don't think we have clarity from HS2 in terms of which bits of their work is being suspended. Whether there are subsections within those bits which have been suspended. And whilst there is certainly some speculation from various quarters, I've not yet seen anything which is clear to be able to answer that question. So unfortunately, if you were to ask it again, maybe in 3 months' time, we might have a better view. But there's no clarity, in my view, coming either from government or from HS2.
And in my experience, there's never been clarity from the day it began with any replies or questions, answers. So I don't think it will ever change. But thank you, Councillor Pitt. Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, just very quickly from the environmental side, I believe that this is more of an officer's group than a councillor's group. And as it says in the commentary, it's around monitoring air quality, vibration, noise, the usual things that you get from construction. When you drive, I was at Tamworth earlier, drive to Lichfield and see what's happening there. We are going to have a bit of noise, vibration, contamination, and the wagons that service the site obviously need to, as you are fully aware, we need to make sure that the dust that's created from them is monitored. The big problem, and I don't mind saying it from the press, is that, as you've alluded to, HS2 are really a force that seems to be without very little local control. If HS2 want to do it, they do it. And so I think it's just on us, it falls on us as Borough Council to make sure that while they're doing it, they do it properly and it doesn't affect residents.
Thank you, Councillor Winnington, and I have to reply to you and say that, yes, this is an officer-led group, and it disappoints me that the only feedback we get is actually here at this meeting, when we should have regular feedback being sent through to all the councillors. Councillor Loughran.
Yeah, following on from that, Chair, when they were doing the improvements in the M6, weren't Stafford Borough Council Environmental Health Department involved in monitoring pollution from the work being done in the M6? Are we then being told that this is no longer being done where HS2 are working? Because our HS2, or is the work that's being done up on the Stone Road, you know, before you get to Yarnfield on the A34, is that not as a result of HS2? And are we, as an environmental health department in the borough, still monitoring what's going on there in terms of the environment?
Councillor Pett.
Maybe
you want to come back,
but I would like to.
If you don't mind, I think that it's slightly disingenuous to say there isn't any feedback to councillors, yourself, Jeremy, and me, at least amongst other councillors, do have briefings off the highways people, and also briefings on HS2. At least at county level, and borough councillors are invited into those meetings. Whether they're well attended is a different matter, but there are meetings out there. I'm sure Jeremy will back me up on that one.
Councillor Pat.
Thank you, Chair. So the two points in terms of the M6, if the borough council has a statutory responsibility to monitor air pollution, and if there was significant air pollution to a point where the borough was not in control of the level of pollution in the area, we would be having to report to government and creating pollution plans to reduce pollution, much like has happened to the north of the county. So I think the answer is, where there are hotspots of concern, there is monitoring, but actually in reality over the years, the hotspots in Stafford Borough have decreased to a point where there are not ongoing long-term monitoring. And obviously that may change, and that's the whole point of making sure that we react to what's happening within our communities. The second point, Chair, is I think this committee has the authority to decide what it wants to scrutinise in terms of the borough council's role and responsibilities. It's not for the borough council to scrutinise someone else's roles and responsibilities, but if you want to see something, I would have thought it was entirely appropriate for it to be on the agenda if that's what the committee decides it wants to see.
Okay.
Two things here, Chair, I need to come back on, and that is, whose concerns are you talking about? Where are the concerns being raised? Is it members of the public who are bringing the concerns to the powers that be, or are there checks and balances being done by the authorities on what is happening?
Yes and yes.
And is it a two-pronged thing, where it's either members of the public or the local authority or both? Thanks, Chair. And I've got to come back to Councillor Winnington, because sometimes I think he forgets that some of us here are only borough councillors. We're not also county councillors. And for him to say that there are reports to councillors, I think actually what he's really inferring is that they're going to county councillors. They're not coming to borough councillors. And okay, if there have been invitations to borough councillors to come along to these meetings where county councillors are having the report, I've never seen an invitation to come along to that. So I must take issue with Councillor Winnington there.
I think you'd be wasting your time attending those meetings anyway, because I attended a remote meeting the other day, and since 2017 we've had concerns about a place called Pyre Hill Lane in Stone, and the senior officer said she'd never heard of it. That was an HS2 officer. Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, could I come back? It's really nice of Councillor Loughran to read my mind as to what I'm inferring and what I'm not inferring. I actually attend the group and it is mainly councillors that are affected. I attend that group as a Stafford Borough councillor.
Thank you, Councillor Winnington. Does anyone else have any questions on page 18?
Okay, so we will move on to page 19, Tracy. I'll let you take it now.
Okay, so page 19.
Yes, I've got a gripe.
Okay.
unusually on 2.3.3, support the promotion of and use of town centres in the borough. Well, there's all those words in the commentary slash action. Stone is mentioned once. We've got everything that goes on in Stafford, every single thing. The only mention that Stone gets is the monthly farmers market held in and Stone. I'm sorry to, you know, be the champion of Stone, but Stone does a lot, and it's very disappointing to see that there's a whole paragraph there talking about the attendance of various things when, you know, Stone is incredibly known for its events, its festivals. One mention of the town, and that is as well as the markets. It doesn't do Stone justice, and I think, you know, that the officer responsible needs to recognise that it is a thriving town for its activities and events. So I'm very disappointed in that report, but well done Stafford. Well done Stafford for all its events that it does. I would like to point out that Stone started the farmers market, so perhaps it should say Stone and Stafford, not Stafford and Stone.
So, Chair, I shall feed that back to the officer, Chair.
Thank you.
You, Chair, that the farmers market in Stone is a bit more popular than the one in Stafford, better attended.
It's very popular.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody got any... I've written down here against 2.3.3 that we really should give compliments to Kevin and Kate, our officers, for the markets. Mm. They work incredibly hard and make our market in Stone very successful. So thank you to both of them. I would now like to raise 2.4.1, where I've written, is there no crime in Stone? I've actually put it.
Okay.
Victoria, you come to the table. I've actually put a question to, is it Tim Norbury?
Yeah. He's the deputy chief inspector.
Yeah, he is holding a meeting in Stone tonight, and I've actually put a question to him, asking through the, I think it's the Safer Streets. Am I saying Safer Streets? Could you tell me if there's anything? Has Stone benefited from the Safer Streets scheme with lighting or CCTV?
So, no, not directly. So the funding was obviously come from central government, and the identified area through the crime statistics and data highlighted certain areas within Stafford, and it was generally linked to the nighttime economy. So that was the area, and then there was quite a small boundary for that. But there are other initiatives through that funding, and I think in total we've had around 140,000 for the borough. So some of that we've spent, and we've had, it's been, you know, we've been told what we have to spend that on. So that's been like the lighting, environmental factors. But there are other things such as education, and which are being led on by the Police and Crime Commissioner's Office. So some of it has come out to us, some of it they are leading on. But things such as the education will then benefit other areas, but those things are being developed. So, and it's a, well, it was a 3-year project, but because of the timelines, it's sort of 2 now, really. So we'll have another 12 months of funding, not directly to the Police and Crime Commissioner, where certain projects will be developed, and yes, we will absolutely be able to roll that out to other areas.
Okay, I was very surprised to read a police report in a planning application that said that Westbridge Park wasn't used at night. It's one of the busiest places in Stone. Councillor Hobbs.
I was looking at 2.4.2, and it mentions domestic abuse. According to the Staffordshire Observatory,
domestic abuse during COVID went up by 29%, and statistically that's only 31% of domestic abuse that's going on. What are we doing to prevent domestic abuse in the borough? What's being done? Do you know?
So through you, Chair, so we do a lot of working in partnership with other agencies. So we work in partnership with Staffordshire Women's Aid. They've run healthy relationship sessions in schools at that transition age as they're going up to high school, to look at about respectful relationships and things like that. So that's quite a big chunk of preventative work that we've done. New Era, who are commissioned by the Police and Crime Commissioner, they also do preventative work in relation to domestic abuse as well. So there is quite a lot. We did see a slight increase in the number of domestic abuse incidents in the borough during the COVID pandemic, but that we had a multi-agency response to work with victims of domestic abuse. New Era also run a perpetrator scheme as well, so there is quite a lot of work that takes place in terms of domestic abuse.
Councillor Perr.
Thank you, Chair. It would be remiss of us not to mention the long-standing partnership that we have with Staffordshire Women's Aid, who are the providers of both refuge and dispersed accommodation. And one of the things that we did, thanks to some government funding during COVID, was work with Staffordshire Women's Aid to add to the existing refuge by putting in 3 units of dispersed accommodation, really a sort of follow-on accommodation, and to pick up some of the well-understood likely increase in demand which we've now seen. I mentioned that Staffordshire Women's Aid has been a long-standing partner of ours, and it would be remiss of me not just to make reference to Dickie James, MBE, who is retiring at the end of March. And she's been a long-standing friend and support to this Borough Council, and I think we should put on record our thanks to her for the work that she has done with her organisation, and I know it is in safe hands with Charlotte Almond taking over as Chief Exec from the 1st of April.
Thank you, Councillor Pat. Anybody else on page 19? Page 20?
Chair, if I may please, 2.5.2. I was actually interested in the commentary there about the fact that there remains a reduction in staff due to long sickness absence, and that impacts on the ability of proactive work. And I do feel that, you know, very possibly this indicates just how much stress our staff are under whenever they're being off work through sickness. And I just wonder what we need to do to trigger the appointment of new staff within the borough. We do, our administrators do have a duty of care to our staff, and I sometimes feel that we're sadly lacking in that. I feel that we seem to have a shortage of staff, which is impacting on the health of the rest of the staff. I'm not criticising the staff, I'm criticising the administration, because I do feel that they should be more alert to the fact that we seem to have a shortage of staff, and the shortage is really impacting seriously on your staff's health.
Councillor Pat.
Thank you, Chair. So, given this it will be my last committee meeting this cycle and this municipal cycle, I should just pay tribute to the work that's done through both Anna Nevin's team and through Tracy Redpath's team, because actually they have some fabulous members of staff with some great skill, and they deliver that on a daily basis. And we should really be thankful for the work that they do. I'm not going to comment on individual members of staff because that would be completely inappropriate and not right. So I'm not going to take the question as it was posed, because when you talk about one individual, you get the wrong balance. But I would pay. Sorry, I would take take. I would take. What I'm looking for, not on bridge. I would take
exception.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Exception. Extreme exception, actually, to the comment that was made. I think we are very responsive to demand. The best example is that we've just, within the housing options team, brought in additional people because we can see there is an additional demand on those services. And we've looked at flexibly how we move people around, how we change some of the roles so that we can respond to need. So I actually don't see within what the council was talking about any truth in that, and I don't see that happening in operations in the areas that fall within this cabinet area.
I take on what you're saying, take on board what you're saying, but I think Councillor Loughran was quite right to raise her concerns that maybe staff were under pressure. And I think it's good to bring it to this community meeting because we're here to scrutinise. And I thank Councillor Loughran for her question. And I thank you for your reply. Does anyone else have any more questions on page 20?
I was going to raise, Chair, the issue of the Disability Facilities Grant, but I shall leave that since we are having a presentation on that topic.
It's about an hour's worth of presentation.
Do you want to carry on, Tracy?
Yeah, so on page 21, there's the improvement report that I mentioned at the beginning for the four indicators that were recorded as below target. So has anybody got any comments or observations about those?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry, Tony. I just want to say I'd like to give just a little really well done on homeless cases resolved through relief. I was sitting having a coffee in Stone High Street, and one of our homeless gentlemen who visits us on a regular basis came walking along. Hi, Jill. And I said, oh, won't say his name, how lovely to see you. Where have you been? I've been really worried. He said, I've got a home and I've got a job in Stafford. And I'm just so thrilled for him, so thank you. You know, that's one positive case. Mm. There must be others. We don't always get to hear about it, but well done, absolutely. I could have kissed him, but he probably wouldn't have liked that.
Actually, that's a positive case.
Yes, it was wonderful. Just Councillor Pearce.
Thank you, Chair. And it's good to hear that. And it's good to see on the final row there, it's L111, is it? Or
yeah.
LI11 or
yeah,
whatever. About the empty home, it's good to see that progress is being made. However, in the ward that I represent, indeed in the part of the ward that I represent, in fact in the street where I live, there are four empty houses that have been empty for a substantial length of time. Three of them empty for over getting on for 20 years, and for most of that time owned by the county council. And I think it's an absolute disgrace that they were allowed to remain empty for so long. They were sold off to the highest bidder through auction, which I think was an irresponsible way of disposing of them. The highest bidder turned out to be a property developer who, having done some minor works, went bust within a short space of time, and now they're up for sale again. These houses have been set on fire over 20 times. The fire brigade has been called out on all of those occasions. The police have been involved. The last incident was probably about a month ago. And it is just an appalling situation. People live in a row of houses adjacent to these properties that are being set on fire. And it seems that nothing is being done about it. And our residents' association are extremely concerned, as are, of course, the neighbours within that area.
Through you, Chair. The fact is that we've reduced the number of empty homes in the last 4 years by a third. The fact is that the County Council owned the homes that are being discussed because they were on the original route of the Western Access Road. Once they started building the Western Access Road, they were able to release those homes. Sounds to me like the councillors talk about a set of properties that are back up for sale, which should resolve themselves. And as a council, we've always been of the view that, you want light touch regulation, and it is only when the policies and the market isn't working should we step in. Where we used to step in and buy houses as a compulsory purchase, that can take up to 2 years, and you just go around in very small circles, and then all you need is one person to object, and you have to start all over again. Given these houses sound like they're up for sale, sounds like the market's doing its job.
Except, Chair, nobody's buying them. And that's understandable because of the state they're in.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else on page 21? No? So, I think I can hand you over now to Andrew Bailey. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The work programme for the next municipal year is detailed from page 25 onwards. And what this does is just give you really the bare bones of the type of information that next year's scrutiny committee will consider going forward. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you. You don't have a crystal ball, do you, to see if we'll all be back next
month? I don't imagine not.
Okay, so I think we can...
Right. So, if that's reports noted, I have to say that the next item on the agenda, the presentation, does contain some confidential information. So, the Chair's asked me to move the closed resolution that, pursuant to Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the meeting whilst the next following item of business be discussed, on the grounds that includes the disclosure of exempt information of the type specified in paragraph 3 of Schedule 12A of the Act. So at this point, Chairman, I'm going to stop the recording of the meeting.